Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Tracy Lee, the freedom architect, constructing freedom worldwide through physical, emotional, and spiritual healing, and unlocking the keys to universal consciousness, one emancipation at a time. Our topic today is 2016 resolutions, half empty or half full. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts, and also go to rewritestory.com for very special gifts we are giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on my co-host, Tracy Lee. Hi, Tracy. How you doing?
Good morning, Al. How are you? I'm wonderful.
I'm fantastic also. How's everything in your world?
Over in Texas, we've had a typical spring. It's been raining, and then it's been sunny. It's been raining, it's been sunny, and everything's dandy.
Phenomenal. So let's get on to our topic. First of all, I want to bring up the word resolution. How do you feel about that word?
Well, the word resolution obviously it comes from the word resolve, and resolve can be a verb or a noun. And when you think of it as a noun or a person, place, or thing, it's resolve means like intention to do something. Or as a verb, if you resolve to do something, you intend to do it. If it's a resolution, it's a noun, which means it's an intention to do something. So I think when we set New Year's resolutions, it's an intent for something to happen. And then it also has this meaning of having also a will behind it, the intention, almost like a plan.
Okay, and half empty or half full, before we address that, so if we have the intent to resolve something, and that's what many people do, the beginning of a new year, why do you think so many people, quote unquote, don't fulfill that resolution?
We get stuck in these cycles, and I've tell so many people about this that, by the time, it's almost Thanksgiving, people are starting to say, the new year is right around the corner. And even though they have, a great part of the year left, the new year is right around the corner. This year has been a waste. I'll just start when January comes. And then, once January comes, it's the new year. Like I'm going to watch football. Then I'm going to start or it's always, people are always waiting for something to happen to be like a cue to start their lives or for that to be like a cue for them to start something or to do something when really the perfect time is now. And I tell people this all the time. Why are you waiting? Oh, I'm just waiting for this to come. I'm waiting for my tax check to come. I'm waiting for my divorce to go through. I'm waiting for the new year. I'm waiting for football to be over so I can start my diet. People are always waiting for something to happen instead of just saying, removing their own blocks from achieving what they want and starting now. There's really no better time than now.
So what you said, I don't like using this word, but I'm going to use it right now. So the reason that people, quote unquote, fail is because they're stuck in the recycling mode or waiting mode to get whatever it is they're trying to get done.
It's the same habit over and over of waiting for something else to happen to be like a cue for them to start the rest of their lives. And I think so many people get stuck in this, waiting for this cue, whether it's the new year, whether it's the check to come through, like I just said. And instead of maximizing, the hour that you have today or the 15 minutes that you have, during your coffee break or, the extra hour that you can take away from sleep, or whatever it might be, instead of maximizing those times and the present, people block themselves from achieving their goals by putting things off, and this becomes a nasty cycle and a highly repetitive habit.
Interesting. I'm sure we'll touch on more on this during our conversation. So half empty or half full, where are you coming from that?
Well, the reason we decided to call the show Half Empty or Half Full, I think, is because, we're coming up on the month of June, and which is, obviously marks like the halfway, after 6 months is done, that's the halfway point of the year. And so we want to encourage people to think about, are you, if you're going to meet your New Year's resolution, then technically you should be about halfway there. If it takes an entire year to reach, some might not take an entire year, some might take a couple months, but encouraging people to think, okay, we're halfway through the year. You know, is your glass half empty or half full, and how are you going to view it? And if it is half empty, how can you turn that around and view that as half full, even though it might be half empty?
When people start out on their resolutions and they have or their goals or whatever, or what they envision what their calendar year would be like, they usually start out like gangbusters. So they come out and say, you know what, this is my year. This is the year I'm going to get it all done. And they mean well, and their intent is very strong, and they go after it. But what happens, and we kind of touched on this a moment ago, you start recycling stuff what's running through your DNA, or what's running through your characteristics or your traits or your character. It within a few weeks, if not a few months, you get over. There's an override,
right?
Because
exactly.
You go back to the way you were before, and that override happens. The next thing you know, like I said, now we're in the end of May, and you're going, gosh darn it, you know, I lost 13 pounds, but I gained 15 back, you know. And
exactly.
And so I how do we deal with that? And I'm going to talk about me personally. I know last year with everything that I went through, I had to stick to my guns and reinvent myself, rejuvenate myself. And it wasn't easy, but it was something I had to do personally in order to get to the point where I'm at today. But for most, it's like I just said, you lose 13 and gain 15. And how do we detach from our previous way of being?
I'm going to give everybody listening right now some very highly golden advice. So, you know, if you're doing something, stop what you're doing and listen to this. And I encourage you to internalize these words and really think about what they mean. Okay. The higher you fly, the harder you fall. Okay. And the bottom line is we have to find balance. And so, it's kind of like that principle of gravity, you know, 9.8 meters per second. It keeps picking up speed with every second. You know, acceleration means that it keeps going harder and harder. And so as above, so below. So the harder you accelerate, the harder you're going to fall when it stops. And so what this is telling us is that the resolution should not be to, you know, find this acceleration and this, you know, dive so hard into something that you burn out and then fall even, you know, you regress into a worse place than where you started. The goal should be to find balance in each moment, and to fill that void, to fill that lack of whatever it is, and to learn how to maximize your time. This way we don't create these massive ups and downs. And with these ups and downs comes, you know, these mood swings and then these financial ups and downs, you know, spending and saving. And everything just becomes this huge whirlwind, and we get stuck in these cycles, and we never really are able to stop and breathe and find any sense of balance or tranquility or peace. And really, that's what everyone's after, I believe. That stability, that flat line.
So you make a lot of sense, and I prefer the word harmony, but balance is key. So let's say you find the balance or you're doing your best to balance out. And let's talk about weight. You know, you're losing weight. You're you're living your balance in a sense of losing the weight, whatever it is, and making sure you stick to it. But my question to you is here it is. So you've been on diets all your life, okay? That's how you live. Every new year, you go on a diet to lose X amount of pounds. And so now you're doing it again. And like I said, you lost 13 and you gained 15 back. But somewhere in there, you're trying to find your balance. What I'm asking is, how do you detach from that cycle that you keep recycling? How do you move away from that and say, I'm done with that. I'm no longer going to live that way anymore?
Well, and that's there's the answer. You just answered your question. You said, I'm no longer going to live that way anymore. And that's the answer. And if we keep with this theme of diets, because I spent 15 years in the fitness industry as a professional weight loss coach for highly obese people that needed to lose 100 plus pounds and was very successful in this field. And what I taught people is that it's not about going on a diet. It's about making a lifestyle change. Because if you view it as a diet, there's a starting point and an ending point where, okay, I'm at this weight. This is my goal. And then once you reach that goal, it's like, okay, now I can go back to doing everything because I already reached that goal. But then what's going to happen? A lot of people, like I said, the higher you fly, the harder you fall, as above, so below, gain the weight back and then some, you know, and then you'll have to readjust. And so to answer your question, it's about making a change that comes within yourself that you can project outward, as opposed to looking outward and projecting that change inward. It has to come from in to out, as opposed to trying to grasp onto something that's not within you.
How much does what happened to you in your childhood play out into your adulthood? In other words, and let's stay with the topic of weight. So let's say your first 7 years of your life, you were surrounded with, let's say your parents fed you whatever you wanted, candy and whatever.
Sure.
How much does that parlay into your current experience? And is that something you need to work on, to let go of, or it doesn't matter?
Of course it matters, because I'll give you the example of, for example, you know, a mother who takes crack while she's pregnant, and then they give birth to what people will call like a crack baby who is born addicted to drugs. You know, if you spend your entire childhood eating artificial foods, GMOs, processed foods, sugars, all of these things, your body forms an addiction to them. And you will go through a withdrawal period if you try to remove these things from your life. So, you know, you have to take great care when you just stop eating sugar or you stop eating processed foods, because it's just like quitting cigarettes or, you know, food is as highly addictive or more highly addictive than any other drug that there is, including heroin, including cigarettes or alcohol. Food is a drug, and since we're talking about food, that kind of just kind of got brought up, you know, you have to accept that, you know, part of this is a physical addiction, and you have to consider, you know, what's involved in weaning yourself off something physically, because, you know, there's a physical aspect and there's a mental aspect, and we have to let both come into play when we're talking about food. But food isn't the only resolution. Losing weight isn't the only resolution out there, but we've kind of got to talking about it. So,
well, okay, so let's talk about finances. So let's say the first 7 years of your life, your family was struggling financially.
Okay.
And it's now fast forward in your current lifestyle, you're struggling financially. How do you deal with what you went through?
So a lot of times with money, I believe that people push money away with exactly this, like you said, how people were brought up. So let's just say, like you said, you're brought up in a poor household where, you know, there isn't a lot of wealth or financial abundance. You might have heard your parents say when you're growing up, oh, rich people this, rich people that, or, you know, the Republicans this, or the conservatives, or people who have money, or they're so snobby. And you start to internalize these words and these thoughts. And when we judge people who have more than us, and when we look down on money, and when people say that money is the root of all evil, would, you know, if I called you evil, Al, if I said, Al, you're so evil, would you want to come hang out with me if I called you evil? Okay.
No.
So stop. If you want to attract money into your life, you have to stop judging people that have it, or you have to stop having these negative feelings about it, because money is energy. And when you think negatively about it, you project negative thoughts and emotions to it, you push it away as opposed to welcoming it to you. So you have to rewire your brain and change your thought process to think, you know what, money causes some people to be greedy, but if you come to me, money, I won't become greedy. I'll do good things with the money. I'm going to feed my children. I'm going to be healthy. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Think of the positive aspects about money as opposed to constantly judging people who have more than you. And I know that this is hard, and I know that not everybody does it, but a lot of us just, we have these feelings inside of, oh, like, look at his Bentley, look at his Rolls Royce, he's so rich, we have nothing. We have to let go of those things, because the money keeps, that's how we get this energetically, that's how we keep manifesting this economical divide, because the people with money love the money, and the money keeps going to the people who love it. You know, energy is attracted to those who love it and show love to it. And so we push it away when we judge it and we say that it's bad. So we have to learn to rewire our brains if we want to attract these things to us. And this goes for anything.
For those that are listening live right now on the radio show, if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, you can actually ask me personally in the chat room. And if you ever have any questions, thoughts, or comments, and you want to address us on Facebook, go to do a search on Human Odyssey Radio, and you'll find us there, and either Tracy or myself will answer your questions or thoughts or comments. Tracy, so let's talk about a love relationship, and let's say in your childhood your parents argued a lot, fought a lot, and you're in a relationship right now where that's what you do, because it's quote-unquote, it's normal. It's how you remember things to be. Even though you deep down inside, you don't feel it's right, but it's normal because that's how you were raised. Here's something that, you know, you hear from other, quote-unquote, gurus and teachers out there. You need to talk to your inner child and make them feel that it's okay and know that wasn't
right.
The right way to deal with it. Your parents did the best they could, but don't accept that as truth or the way to be. And so you deal with that to create some integration or healing or whatever you want to call it. Is that necessary? And not only that, do you need to talk to your parents and say, "Hey, look, I understood what you guys were going through. I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm done with it. That's not my foundation anymore." I mean, do you actually need to do that kind of stuff, or do you just put your foot down and say it ends now and this is the way it's going to be?
Well, for as new age as people tend to say that I am, I'm a huge inner child person. It doesn't always work to go talk directly to the person, because that's making this inference that they're going to understand and accept that they were wrong and give you some type of apology, where really it's all about acceptance and letting go and moving on. So I'm so into the inner child thing and healing your inner child. And you know, when I work with clients, I tell them we're going to hop in a time machine and go back to that moment. And as your adult self, you know, we're going to talk to, you know, the child that's hurt and broken. And, you know, I encourage people to separate themselves from that child. And, you know, you kind of think, you know, if this was somebody else's child, what would I say to it? How would I respond? And when you're able to separate yourself as an adult and talk to that child, this can be an extremely powerful experience. So I'm real big on that.
So you probably, in order to fulfill resolution, you need to address, not only do you need to say, "Hey, from this moment forward, my life is going to change," because then you're putting it out there, but so you also need to address the quote-unquote the inner child aspect of it. Even if you don't remember what caused it, you need to talk to your inner child and say, "Hey, you know what? You obviously went through something, because I keep recycling it over and over again, whether it's weight, finances, or the relationship. We need to go back and talk to our inner child then."
I agree with that principle so wholeheartedly. One of my spiritual beliefs is that, like, the past, present, and the future all happen simultaneously. So, you know, and experiencing now is just where our consciousness is the most focused. So when we're able to heal the past and help the inner child heal, we're simultaneously healing ourselves. So I think that healing the past and your inner child is extremely important. It's crucial.
Okay. And I've done that type of work both with somebody and also on my own. And I've actually, since the beginning of this year, I've been consciously doing it on my own and going back into time and dealing with my inner child. The question to you is, does it work better when you have somebody facilitating you, or is it just as powerful to do it on your own?
It just depends on the person. You know, there's no formula, because some people might not really understand what that means. And so if you're someone who wants to learn about this, yes, go and find someone who can guide you through maybe healing one incident or one issue that you're dealing with, and then maybe you are able to repeat that process on your own for other incidents, so that you don't have to, you know, continuously pay a professional. But there's a lot of professionals out there who will guide you through, healing the inner child, like including myself and probably yourself, you know, I encourage you guys to find one of these people and or read about it online and try it, because it really does work.
So just to go back to our topic, half empty.
Yeah.
if you're feeling half empty, and based on the conversation that we're having, it sounds like two things we are kind of mandatory. One is to address the original incident, because it probably happened in childhood. So you got to integrate or heal that experience, or experience fears, especially if it kept recycling, you know, as you were growing up. And the second thing is, you got to put your foot down and say it stops now, whatever that is, you know, the way, money, relationship, whatever, and tell yourself or consciously say, hey, you know, from this moment forward, my life is going to change, and I'm going to make sure it happens. So it sounds like there's two prongs that you have to work through to get to that point. And then something else that you brought up, something about the higher we fly, the harder we fall type of thing. So we need to have balance.
Yes, exactly. Right.
So it sounds like there's three things that we actually, so there's three things we have to consider in order to get out of that half empty aspect to get into the half full aspect, correct?
And I'd also kind of add in the middle of two of those is that, you know, what we talked about before about self-forgiveness and self-compassion, that, you know, if you say that it's like, for example, let's go back to the diet. Let's just say, like, starting today forward, I'm never going to eat cheese again. But then, like, tomorrow you eat cheese. And so you just give up on yourself because you messed up. So you have to learn to forgive yourself for your missteps and exercise self-compassion and not be so hard on yourself that you cause yourself to fall even harder. And that kind of goes along with the higher you fly, harder you fall principle.
Yeah, you know what, and I totally agree with that. I, as you know, and the audience knows, I've had a pretty drastic or dramatic lifestyle change since last year, and by no means am I going to say I've been perfect. I have ventured into doing things that I know better I shouldn't do, and truthfully, you know, in the beginning, I was hard on myself, but, you know, I am human, and I do things that I probably shouldn't be doing, but I do my best to forgive myself and have to ask for myself and then keep moving forward. Instead of staying stuck or demean myself and put myself down and say, okay, you know, I'm worthless, I'm not, you know, worth doing what I'm doing, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, I totally agree on what you're saying. Compassion and forgiveness is mandatory, because we are human. We will do things that we know better not to do. But we got to keep evolving and moving forward.
Exactly.
When you realized, Tracy, this whole aspect, and I know you went through your awakening a few years ago, how easy was it for you to let go of all the BS?
There's nothing in this life that's easy. You know, everything has, if it's easy, then it's, you know, then you're missing something. You know, it's painful. It's difficult. You have, you know, there's the dreams that come that remind you of what happened, and you wake up and you're stuck between this dream and your life. And then you're stuck with the traumatic, with the traumatic responses, the memories, the triggers, you know, things that happen that remind you of that traumatic incident. And learning to break out and learning to recognize when you're having a traumatic response and learning how to break free of those responses is so painful and so difficult. And I think once people are able to recognize when it's happening and kind of cut it off, you know, cut it off at the knees, then, you know, that makes things a lot easier. But it's painful, and nobody will ever say otherwise.
So you just brought up something here, cut it off at the knees. So when you're going through this and you're feeling the pain and it hurts, and been there, done that, so I get it. How do you cut it off at the knees? How do you stop the pain?
Well, it's not about stopping the pain. It's about stopping the suffering, like we talked about last week, what I said about Haruki Murakami's quote, pain is inevitable, suffering is a choice. You know, feel
right.
The pain as much as you need to, but you have to learn how to stop suffering. And that is a learned action. That is a learned behavior. It's a learned response. And it is a choice. But you have to learn that it's a choice by cutting it off before it starts. And it's that line where pain turns into suffering And that's what we have to learn to distinguish.
That, you know what, that, Tracy, that's very powerful. And I know we touched on this before. And for me personally, pain brought liberation to me. I didn't get this. If you would have asked me this 15 months ago, I would have said, I would have shied away from pain. It's like most of humanity does. They tend to go towards pleasure. But I eventually realized that pain brings liberation once you get to the other side of that veil, the other side of that line. Now, my question to you is, and this is very profound what you just said, you got to be able to get to deal with the pain before you, and deal with it before you get to the other side of suffering. Right when you're about to hit suffering, how do you recognize it and say, oh, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to make a left turn and go over here towards liberation.
You know, it's about allowing that pain to – it's kind of like, you know, when you stub your toe or you bang your toe against the door or a corner or something, and you're just like, ugh, and you can scream and you can throw something across the room. And to use that example, it's, you know, when you bang your toe, you know that it's going to sting really, really bad for, you know, 30 seconds or a minute or no matter what it's going to be. And there's nothing you can do, maybe besides find a piece of ice or something, but, you know, there's not much you can do to make that sting stop. It's going to stop in its own time. But, you know, it's your choice to, you know, pick up a piece of glass and throw it across the room and make an additional mess. You know, that's a choice you make. And so when you're able to, in that moment of pain, decide, hey, I'm going to ride this out. I'm going to ride it out, but I'm not going to cause any further destruction. When you're able to recognize when you're at that crossroads and make that choice, that's when you start to change your life.
Awesome. I'm loving how we're ending this show because, we shared some, I thought, some pretty insightful wisdom, but I like the one where about dealing with pain, and then before you jump into or cross that line into suffering, that's where you stop and say, okay, look, I'm going to ride this pain out, but I'm not going to go into that road or pathway of suffering. I understand I got to deal with this pain, but there's no reason that I have to suffer because of it. And I love that. So any final thoughts or comments for our audience, Tracy?
I really like this show a lot. I hope that, you know, the people listening found it helpful. And you know, my two final thoughts, like I said, you know, the higher you fly, the harder you fall. Don't forget that. And, you know, suffering is a choice. So ride that pain out, learn to experience it, and know that if you have the courage to face it, it will eventually subside.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I can attest that, you know, once you deal with the pain, on the other side is liberation. Been there and done that. Tracy Lee, ZetaLineHealing.com, my wonderful co-host, and I greatly appreciate you, Tracy. Have you had enough of what you are going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember that every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, join us for this wonderful show. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future for our best and highest good, wherever you are at, have a great day or wonderful evening. Tracy, you rock. Thank you for being you.
Thank you, everybody. Peace and love to all those listening.
Take care.
All right. Take care, everybody. Till next week.